Welcome to the College Game Day Podcast, Emergency Hotel in the Greater Phoenix Area Edition. As those of you on YouTube can tell by the Residence in Marriott backdrops, the telltale signs behind Jeff Porzello and I, this is Pete Thimble, your Game Day Podcast host. I'm here with my trusty partner, Jeff Porzello, for another college basketball. But this is an emergency edition, Jeff. John Calipari is headed to Arkansas, the Kentucky coach, after 15 years, four Final Fours, I believe, Jeff.
Yeah.
35 first-round picks. I think without argument, the biggest name of a coach in college basketball is leaving Lexington for Fayetteville. This is axis-shifting news in the sport. Jeff, your immediate reaction?
I just didn't think it would happen. I didn't think that Cal would actually leave for another job. There's an argument to be made that Kentucky is the biggest job in the sport, and a pretty good argument given that their conference affiliation, their history, their resources. There's obviously expectations that come with it, so people might not think it's the best job, but I think it's the biggest job, and now it's open, and Cal left for not just any job, a job in the same league. And it just, you know, you heard whispers about it throughout the week, and oh, you know, he's interested in it. They're interested in him. They're going to make a run at him. But until basically you tweeted that he was finalizing a deal, I wasn't actually sure it was going to happen. Just because he was giving up, you know, a lot of Kentucky. I mean, he had that thing from a recruiting perspective, he was still rolling. From an NBA perspective, he was still rolling. The fan base was disappointed. And when we spoke about that a couple of weeks ago, but I thought they were going to have to force him out. I didn't think he was actually going to do it himself. And I didn't think he was going to do it at Arkansas. It's like you said, it's a landscape shifting move. It's a seismic move in the SEC and college basketball. And again, you know, the biggest job in the sport is now open.
So I think, Jeff, the hardcore college basketball fan probably knows how we got here. This is beyond Oakland. This goes back to, I believe, one tournament win since 2019. And just an erosion of the dominance that we saw for really like that decade when he won the national title, was making Final Fours consistently. How do you explain to like the common fan, the bracket fan, how John Calipari got to this crossroads where he chose to leave for Arkansas?
He would have entered next season on the hot seat. You know, another season without multiple NCAA tournament wins, and he probably would have been fired at this point next season. The $33 million that they owed him after this past season was probably enough to give him another year. But once you get to the point where your athletic director has to release a statement saying you're coming back as the coach, you know, it's kind of hard to come back from that. And he had lost the appreciation of the fan base, I guess I'd say. And like you said, it was more than just the Oakland loss. It was more than the St. Peter's loss. He had essentially refused to adapt to the changes in college basketball roster construction. He was still going heavy on freshmen. You know, he was going into the portal to get one or two guys, but he was still saying, okay, we're going to win young. We're going to win with freshmen. We're going to win with McDonald's All-Americans. And that hadn't really worked. And like I said, he was still putting guys in the NBA, but the fan base was saying, hey, we don't want to consider a player good when he gets a $100 million contract. We want him to win championships at Kentucky. And I just think that the final straw for most of the fan base was the Oakland loss, because this past season he had shown at least an interest in modernizing his offense. I mean, they played faster, they shot more threes. So it seemed like he understood, hey, I have to change this, this, and this to move forward. But the loss to Oakland and the press conference after, where he said, we might go into the portal, we might not, we might be young. I just think some of the faith, or whatever remaining faith the fan base had in Cal, was kind of eroded by that point.
So you and I have done this for a long time, Jeff, and we're around all these coaches. We're around them at AAU events, spend a lot of time with them, talk on the phone with them. And I think one thing listeners probably don't have a grasp of that we do is that a vast majority of these big-time head coaches are extremely insecure. And I bring that up to say you're laughing, for those of you listening and not watching. How much of this move do you think is John Calipari, a man of Hall of Fame coach of tremendous accomplishment? How much of it is him wanting to go somewhere where he's won?
I think that's a huge part of it. I mean, he was going to go into next season. Like I said, he was going to go in on the hot seat with a fan base that really no longer wanted him there. You know, there was a ton of calls to fire him last month. And you know, when Mitch Barnhart announced he was coming back, there was disappointment, especially on social media and the fan base. And I think that he was saying, you know, part of the appeal of Cal when he had Kentucky rolling was it was we're at the best job in the sport, we have the best fans in the sport. You know, it's Kentucky eats first, all that stuff was it was all Kentucky, Kentucky, Kentucky. If you don't have the fan base behind you anymore, it's really hard to sell that still. And so he's going to a place at Arkansas where when they have it going, you know, Bud Walton Arena is one of the best home court advantages in the sport. They have a tremendously passionate fan base. They have a ton of resources. It is a really good landing spot for someone who kind of, you know, maybe wants to do what he was doing at Kentucky in 2012, 2013, 2014, and kind of reignited and reestablish it as one of the best programs in the country. And so I just it's a fitting spot for someone who really relies on you know, we are the best and we have the best fans, we have this and this. He needs that love and that support from the fan base to sort of get his message across.
So, as you and I talked yesterday, as this started to percolate, I think when I really started to take it seriously was, well, one, like the search had gone really quick, right?
Yeah.
Like these searches have these, there's a buzz here, they're talking to this guy. Chris Jans's name was floating around as somebody interviewed yesterday, but like for a 6, 7 hour stretch, the search sort of went inert, which was just a signal that something was happening. And I think the moment I started to take this seriously was when a few people told me that John Calipari had a long-standing relationship with John Tyson, and John Tyson is the billionaire with a B, Tyson Food, Tyson Chickens. Teddy Thamel enjoys their nuggets, dinosaur shaped.
Don't
And
act like you
that's what
don't
I'm.
enjoy the dinosaur shaped nuggets too. Come
Oh yeah, I mean, we were talking about this yesterday. Like, how many leftover chicken nuggets do you eat every week? I
on.
mean, too many, probably, right? Enough that I should be on the treadmill today instead of talking about John Calipari, that's for sure. So with that relationship, to me it signaled comfort and resources. And there's two things John Calipari's gonna want. He's gonna want all the private planes. He's gonna want the big NIL cachet. He's going to want at Arkansas what he had at Kentucky in terms of available resources. Like, and not to pick on these schools, but I don't think South Carolina or Mississippi State could have offered the same path. And I'm just picking on two lower end SEC schools, just generically, right? I don't think they have the financial mettle to make a move like this. So I guess I bring that up as a preamble to ask you, what do you think John Calipari at Arkansas could look like? Because I think this is a home run hire for Arkansas. Like, I mean, for as much as, John Calipari is perceived to be on the decline or in a funk, I don't know if you had hired Jerome Tang or you had hired Chris Jans or you had even hired Chris Beard. I don't, and Chris Beard is a very good coach. Obviously he would come with his own set of baggage, but I don't know if, like, I think John Calipari is just a win. And some of it, Jeff, I think, and I'll be curious how you think it unfolds there, but this is show business, man. Like, you and I on November 11th are going to be watching the first Arkansas game, right? And knowing John Calipari, it's going to be in Madison Square Garden. It's going to be somewhere big and bold, and it's the reality show that takes over the sport. I'd have to think about it a little broader, but I don't think there's anyone's going to be more excited to watch the first week of college basketball season than what John Calipari looks like coming out of the tunnel in a, I don't know, does he wear a three-quarter zipper tie these days?
Three quarters in, three quarters in.
Yeah, so in a white with a hint of red hue in a hog logo, 3/4 zipper.
I mean, I think it's telling that the biggest story going into next season in the SEC, a league that has Kentucky, a league that has Alabama, who just made the Final Four, a league that has Chris Beard and Bruce Pearl and whoever else, it's going to be Arkansas. And from that perspective, it's hard to view this hire as anything other than just a huge statement. It really, I mean, I think that's what it is. It's a statement of intent. It's we're Arkansas. We have the money to do this. We're going to fund a pretty sizable NIL budget from everything we're hearing. And we're going to go build, you know, the best rosters in the country. We're going to let Cal do what he did to Kentucky. And, you know, maybe he's not going to get the number two, number one recruiting class every single season, like he did at Kentucky. But, you know, he was doing pretty well at Memphis when he was when he was recruiting there. So I think he's still going to be able to go out and get McDonald's All-Americans. And again, I think he's going to have to, adjust his roster construction mindset and go into the portal a little bit more, as we've seen Arkansas do pretty effectively under Eric Musselman. It's a place that transfers have wanted to go. I mean, they have the facilities, obviously. I mean, they have the fan base. It's a place where you can go and win. So yeah, I mean, it's has Cal had Cal lost his fastball his final few years at Kentucky? Probably, but if you're Arkansas, this again, this is a landscape shifting move, and now Arkansas is the biggest story in the sport on the morning of the national championship game. There's no other hire in the country that they could have made where they'd be the biggest story in the sport, and I just think from that perspective, they couldn't have done better than this.
True or false, Arkansas is in the Final Four in the next 4 years.
I'll go. I mean, I know it's and again, I mean, Cal hasn't been there in a while, but I just think he's gonna be. It's. I mean, the tournament's a crapshoot, and I think that if you stockpile enough talent, you give yourself a chance to get. I think Kentucky could have made it this year if they beat Oakland. I mean, it's again, it's a one game deal, but I think if you stockpile enough talent, which he will do, which he has consistently done at Kentucky, eventually you're gonna break down that wall and get into the Final Four.
Does John Calipari shake up his staff significantly at Arkansas? And was this exit kind of a clean window for him to reboot that? Because that was
I think
something
he,
I think that was a struggle for John. All these guys who'd helped him for so many years, all these loyal lieutenants, the paradigms change, and maybe you don't need as many recruiters as he has on his staff. Maybe you need a little different shift. Do you think that staff come, the next few weeks looks a lot different?
I think it needs to. I think he needs to go out and I think he can. He needs, first of all, he needs probably an X's and O's guys that will come in and make sure the offense that he was running this past season can be tweaked to some extent to whatever roster he builds at Arkansas for year one. I mean, he's going to essentially have to rebuild Arkansas's entire roster. Now, does the Kentucky freshman class, recruiting class, come with him to Fayetteville? That remains to be seen. But I think he's going to have to continue to play the way he did this past season. And he doesn't need, like you said, he doesn't need, three or four recruiters on his staff anymore. It's a When you have the NIL budget that he's going to have, and you have the portal, which he's going to need to use, you don't necessarily need guys that will that have long-standing relationships with, high school power brokers where you can recruit a guy for 18 months to get his commitment. They're going to need guys that will go in the portal, get guys in 2 weeks, and rebuild this roster to compete in year one. So it is a chance for him to kind of have a clean break. And he doesn't have to get rid of everybody, but he does need to probably he probably needs to shake up his staff moving forward at Arkansas.
Quickly, before we talk about what's next at Kentucky, you broke the story this morning. Aaron Bradshaw, the talented big man, is in the portal, the first domino to fall after John Calipari's move. Is he going to follow him? Is there an early feel on the street, Jeff, or is it too early?
I don't think he's a lock to follow Cal. I mean, there have
Okay.
been whispers the past couple of weeks and even past couple of months that he was going to consider transferring.
Okay.
He had a pretty up and down freshman season. Barely played the final 2 months of the year. Had a foot injury that kind of delayed his debut. So I don't think he's a lock to Arkansas. I think he's going to have a pretty open recruitment.
Could he go to Rutgers? That just the juggernaut, dominant,
Hey,
top draft pick.
they need a big man. They got the
Sure.
two lottery picks coming in. They do need a big man. It would be a return home for him. Now, do they have the NIL funds after going and get Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey? We'll have to see, but I'm sure they'll throw their hat in the ring. I think Indiana will throw their hat in the ring, and I think Arkansas will probably also pursue him to bring him to Fayetteville. So I think he's going to have his choice of suitors.
Well, there will be a lot of buzz this week. So much for you going home and coaching soccer and getting some rest and relaxation. Until the very moment that Kentucky hires a coach. You did something for ESPN Plus last night where you kind of handicapped the field. Give me, Jeff, your three most realistic candidates. I guess let's start with where they shoot, and then we'll distill that to reality. Billy Donovan was the first name. Walk me through the Hail Mary list before we get to the reality list for Kentucky.
I mean, I think the first call probably has to go to any of Dan Hurley, Billy Donovan, Jay Wright. And I don't think Hurley's leaving. I mean, especially if he wins back-to-back titles on Monday night. I don't think he's leaving either way. He's a Northeast guy. He just doesn't seem to fit Kentucky. Billy Donovan has really shown no sign of wanting to come back to college. And again, he's got the Bulls in the playoffs, so it'll be or the play-in game. So it's going to be at least a couple of weeks before he'd be able to take over. And then Jay Wright has maintained he does not want to coach again. And I remember one of the biggest things for him at Villanova was, I can coach Villanova, and then I can live my life without being kind of under the microscope. I can raise a family. I can go out to dinner in Philly and not be bombarded. Can't do that in Lexington. It's a full-time 365 job to coach Kentucky basketball. So I just don't see that happening. And then there's the other guy. I don't know if a Nate Oates cannot happen, but I do know it will cost $18 million to get him out of his Alabama contract, and no school has paid that. I don't know about football, but it hasn't happened in basketball.
What's the biggest basketball buyout to get a coach? We just saw Kalen DeBoer get $12 million in football, and that had kind of reset that paradigm. I mean, is there anything over $5 million?
I mean, Ed Cooley leaving Providence for Georgetown was probably in that range, that five to
Okay, yeah,
six
private
range.
school, so yeah.
Right. Oates would be three times that. TJ Otzelberger would be three times that. Tommy Lloyd just signed a new contract. I assume his buyout is pretty sizable. I also don't think he maybe has the personality to fit. I mean, he's a West Coast guy his entire career. So you kind of get rid of a lot of names that would theoretically be on their call sheet if this was 10 years ago, and they can go get whoever they wanted. So that's why I think the realistic names would be Scott Drew, who just turned down Louisville to return to Baylor and sign a new contract. From what I understand, the buyout is still not prohibitive. And if he wants to leave, this would be a chance. I think Bruce Pearl, I think you're going to hear that name. Now, he has the same NCAA tournament issues that Calas had. He hasn't been out of the first weekend since 2019 either. And he's also 64. And so if you're Kentucky, do you want to start fresh with, someone 45, 50 that certainly has 10 or 15 years of potential ahead of them? But I do think he's probably going to be pretty high on their list of realistic targets. And after that, I think you could take your pick of the Sean Millers, the Brad Underwoods, Mark Pope. You'll probably hear a link to it because he played there. But I don't think it's going to be, we're Kentucky, we could hire whoever we want. I think they're going to make some calls and get some no's before making their hire.
Do you think this is a quick targeted search, or do you think this drags a little bit? They don't have any competition in the market right now. They need to get this right. There's a tremendous amount of pressure on Mitch Barnhart, the athletic director. Do you think this is like a shotgun 48-hour deal, or do you think this thing lasts, long enough to maybe dangle Billy Donovan after his play-in game, which is in about 10 days?
I think perhaps it's more likely to move quickly. I think that they probably had some sort of list of targets back after they lost to Oakland before they opted to bring him back. Again, they don't have competition, like you said, but you're going to want to kind of keep this freshman class together. You're going to have to rebuild this roster pretty quickly. And again, I mean, if this drags out until Billy Donovan's available, which could at the earliest is I think 10 days from now, by that point, a lot of guys in the portal are going to be already committed. The portal closes on May 1st.
Interesting.
And so there should be some sort of sense of urgency to, I mean, you don't have to do it tomorrow. You don't have to do it on Wednesday, but I think you have to get whoever you hire, you're going to have to give them a fair amount of time to rebuild this roster.
All right. Gun to your head, the next Kentucky basketball coach is.
I'll say Scott Drew. I just think he has the track record. He did flirt with Louisville a little bit. And he also doesn't have an enormous buyout like the Nate Oateses of the world. And so I just think there are a lot of he ticks a lot of boxes for Kentucky's next coach. And so we'll see if his return to Baylor after turning down Louisville was a lifetime thing or a 3 week thing.
Yeah, my understanding is his buyout is less than $5 million, which is not a
Yes.
problem
Yep. Right.
for Kentucky basketball. Very interestingly, if Kentucky had fired John Calipari, they would have owed him $33 million. By him leaving, he's not paying them a dime. So that just shows when you are established as he was and you have contractual leverage like he had, you can really have a mind-bendingly lopsided contract. And that's what that is. To put a bow on the Drew notion, Jeff, I think it's telling that Louisville's offer to him was not some like home run you need to walk out of there on. It
Right.
was through the prism of what he makes, which I think USA Today has him in that like $6 million range. It's private, so it'd be the last available tax documents. Makes a good amount of money. He's a top 10 paid coach, in the country. They did not back up the Brinks truck. They gave him fair and comparable offer. I think one point that we've seen accentuated throughout this carousel, and it's only going to be amplified moving forward, is that with the SEC and the Big Ten pulling so far ahead financially from everyone else, a place like Kentucky can offer Scott Drew $9 million, right? They're paying John Calipari $8.5 million. They can offer $8 million. And ACC schools, even blue blood types like Louisville, one of the five winningest programs in college basketball, may not have those caliber of resources going forward. I mean, they've had Pat Kelsey in the mid twos, is my understanding. So it's that's like coordinator money in the SEC in football anyway. So it's no, it's just that it's different, and we are going to see this power two notion become more and more distinct moving forward. And I really do think that Kentucky's process could be a further amplification of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think I know they said I know I said that they can't go out and get whoever they want, but the guys that, you know, like I said, Nate Oates is going to be the one that maybe they that would be perfect, but that's competing against another SEC school who has, you know, has made him a top five guy paid coach in the sport. But yeah, as you mentioned, I mean, if Kentucky wants to pay him, or if he says I'll leave for $9 million a year, Kentucky can pay that if that's who they want.
Yes, and I think that's important here. I don't think institutionally Kentucky wants to be flailing around and being credited with an economic stimulus award from Washington, D.C. and getting a bunch of folks raises. I do think Danny Hurley made a few extra million bucks. Yes. You know, there'll be a little cloud over the title game tonight, but win or lose, he's done a remarkable job at UConn. Clearly historic. What is it now? They have won 11 consecutive NCAA tournament games by double digits. Nobody's ever done that before. They're certainly there, and there will certainly be some urgency, especially because of UConn's sort of precarious place in the football landscape. I just think they need to. They will. There will be some urgency to relock up early at a top five type rate in the sport. He has certainly earned it. You know, beyond anyone else. And then from there, it'll be interesting to see how you know. If it becomes them poaching or them stimulating, because those are usually one of the two things when a big blue blood like Kentucky goes on.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that they have already probably back channeled the Billy Donovans and Jay Wrights of the world, and we're not going to get public denials from them. I mean, the Chris Beard and Jerome Tang turning down Arkansas, that was pretty public. I don't think we're going to get kind of an obvious Kentucky's moving down their list of guys. I think we're going to see them move. Like I said, it's got to be fairly quickly. And I think that, you know, it's going to be a quick, hey, would you be interested in leaving Scott Drew? And if he says yes, they move forward. If he says no, it's going to move right on to the next guy. I don't think it's going to be very long, drawn-out conversations with any of these guys.
All right. Very good. Well, this will not be a long, drawn-out podcast. We threw up the emergency flashers. Here we are. Jeff, thanks for jumping on the Game Day podcast. Talk about the biggest news in sport today.